Good Saturday morning to everybody. Welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services. I am Gary Byron. Chris, well, good morning there, my friend.
Good morning, Mr. Byron. How are you?
I missed you, man.
I feel like I need a personal introduction. I haven't seen you in so long.
It does feel that way. We've been running a couple of, I know we had a couple of reruns.
Yeah, some Christmas specials, some music.
Yes, that was nice. So how's your new year going?
New Year's doing very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe we're already, you know, third week in January.
Can you believe that? I know.
Total shocker.
Talking to some friends of mine yesterday.
Yeah.
It's like, can you believe that the month is almost over?
No. But then again, that's, you know, this is the same thing I say all the time. You know, it's age. I'm telling you. It's an age thing. It's an age thing. You know, you hit a certain age and all of a sudden time is flying. When you're before that age, you can't wait for time to get done with. And now it's like it's just flying by you. It's amazing. It's terrible.
Yeah, but you still have goals, right? You never lose sight of your goals.
You always have goals.
Do you have resolutions? Are you a resolution guy?
No.
No, you wouldn't say, oh, I need to do this this year.
Yeah, no. I don't do resolutions. And you know why? To me, it's all about discipline. So you either live a life that's disciplined or you don't. And if it helps you to at a time of year to say, I'm going to make this resolution and stick to it, awesome. No problem. What? I'm not a guy who does that because I know that there's too many circumstances in life to pop up where your resolution just goes out the window. And why should I feel bad about the fact that, you know, I didn't do what I said I would do, and I'd rather just not say it and then move on. But I still, you know, I still do the things I need to do.
I mean, for example, somebody that wants to quit smoking or lose weight try to better themselves.
Good positive things.
But those could be resolutions.
Sure,
no?
But you know what? You don't need a resolution. You should do it every day of your life.
Okay. You don't need to wait till the first of the
year. You don't need to wait. But if that works for you, fine. If, you know, that word carries a lot of power with some people. You know, some people literally, I can't wait till like New Year's comes so I can, you know, have my resolution of not eating processed sugars. You know, there you go. That's what I do over Lent. No processed sugar over Lent.
Well, that's coming up.
Yeah.
I remember we just talked about Lent.
I know. let me refer you to our earlier conversation.
Oh,
time is flying by. We just had the bishop here for
Touché.
Easter. Wait, what do you mean?
Yes!
He's not here.
he'll be here this Easter. Right?
I think so. Yeah, he said he would.
Oh my goodness, can you believe that?
He's all excited.
Did you notice like the day after Christmas, everything for Valentine's Day was out?
You know, okay, I saw the stuff for Valentine's Day, and I was looking at it, and I'm going, you know, the boxes with the hearts, and
yeah.
I'm like, why's that up? What's that? And then I realized, oh, that's for Valentine's Day. I go, wait, it's December. Yeah. Everything's earlier and earlier, you know? And I don't get it.
Okay.
I just don't get it.
Now I'm going to take it one step further.
Okay.
I actually saw Cadbury cream eggs.
Well, they're year-round now.
No, those are Easter eggs.
Okay.
The Cadbury eggs.
Don't yell at me. Okay.
But my point is, good Lord, let's get through. I mean, that's not until April. It's only January, and there's other holidays. I mean, you have St. Patty's Day. We just talked about Valentine's Day. You know, and all of a sudden, we're selling Cadbury cream eggs for Easter.
Yeah.
It's like we go right from Christmas. We go from the birth of Christ to the crucifixion and the resurrection.
There you go.
Wow.
And isn't that life?
We'll come back full circle. Boy, time is flying right by.
Time's flying right by. Been what? 20,000 or 2,023 years or so.
That's it.
And we're done.
Good night, everybody.
Hey, I'll be here all week.
So how have you been? Seriously.
No,
I mean,
I've been okay. You know, I had some issues that need to get fixed, and, you know, they got fixed, and so I'm just muddling my way through.
You do look fantastic.
Well, thank you. I'll get you your new glasses from Lenses Only anytime soon. I think you know those people.
Steve at Lenses Only would appreciate that.
Yeah, see? I'll do a live read for him.
You probably could, actually, and he you. But no, seriously, this is probably the best I have, most svelte I have seen you in probably a couple of years.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm not going to ask what you thought of me before then. No. But, you know, okay, whatever.
I noticed that too. I could take a page out of your, I could learn from you is what I'm saying. I need to learn from your secrets on how you stay new year, new. You always hear this new me. It's new year, new me. You know,
new year. Well, to me, it's new year, and I want the old me. You know, you hit that certain age. It's like, no. I don't like this new guy. Who's this guy in the mirror? No, well, no, that's not who I am.
I guess.
Holy smokes, let's go back, please. I'm begging you.
All right, so then before we get started, if you could. In this new year, yeah. I know there's no resolution. I'm not going to ask you about resolutions. You've already answered that. But if you could change one thing about yourself, whatever, what would it be? Oh, I maybe have I stumped him here?
No, it's not a question of stump because I wasn't going to give you a glib answer. I was going to give you the answer that I always think of, and
that's the one I want, though.
But I was just debating whether, you know, I should go down there. But I just want to always try and be a better man, a better husband, a better father. I mean, that to me is always my goal.
Nothing wrong with that.
So it's, and it's not, there's no roadmap, you know? And I mean, at my age already, you'd think I'd have had it all figured out. But I don't. So it's always a constant consciousness to try and do better. I think it's, you know what? Here's what it comes down to. Trying to live a more virtuous life.
Okay.
I think that's what it comes down to. You know? And it's little things. Doesn't mean you're on your knees praying for hours every day. It's just little acts of kindness, little things, a little more patience with people, a little less raising of your voices. Yeah. And the good news is, you know, I have a wife who reminds me constantly. So
when you start to veer off the path, she brings you right back on then.
Well, yeah, that's it. I'll never forget that there was a time where I used to pray to God for patience. And the kids, my wife, everybody was trying my patience even worse. So finally, I'm sitting down with my spiritual director one day, and this is many years ago. And I said, you know, I just can't understand this whole God thing. I'm sitting here. I keep praying for patience. I keep praying for patience. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. It's never. I mean, more people are pissing me off. Oh, am I allowed to say that?
Yes, you can. You can say that.
Okay. Than ever before, and I have no patience at all. And he looks at me. He goes, you're an idiot. And this is a priest. He goes, you're an idiot. I go, what do you mean? He says, you ask for patience, right? Yeah. Well, God's given you every opportunity to practice patience, and you're not doing it. So what do you want from him? You want him to come down with a little wand, pop you on the head, and all of a sudden you're patient?
Oh.
I said, the only way you gain patience is to be placed in a position where you have to practice it. So he's giving you more and more opportunities, and you're failing miserably. And I just looked at the guy, and I'm like, oh, I guess that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? So, yeah, it's an ongoing journey, as they say. And I hate to use that because it's quaint term people
use.
But it's true. It really is. Oh. You know, life is a journey, and, you know, hopefully you choose the right paths as you can.
Some would say life is a lemon, and I want my money back.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to talk about the Catholic funeral plan today.
I want to know about you.
Before we do, what?
I want to know about you. I haven't seen you in ages. How are you doing?
Yeah, you know, I'm hanging in there, my friend. I'm doing my best to get by. I take it one day at a time. I try to live in the moment. I have goals, short-term goals, long-term goals, like anybody else. But, you know, quite frankly, I've been looking around me and seeing people drop, you know, and die. And
young people, too.
Young people, athletic people.
Yep.
You know, and I'm sitting there going, you know, every day's a gift and tomorrow's not guaranteed. So I live in the moment now. You know, if I try to do good deeds, but I live my life and like I said a moment ago, I take it one day at a time.
Be present in the present.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't have a New Year's resolution. My producer, Jimmy J, and I, we talked about it not long ago when the year first began. It was, you know, we kind of challenged each other. And he was smoking a pack and a half a day. And I challenged him to quit smoking. And he challenged me to lose 10 to 15 pounds because I was complaining that I felt all this weight from Thanksgiving to New Year's. No. I know. Well, I see it on me. And I can, more importantly, I can feel it on me. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to deny it. Of course. He cheated once and never looked back. It was shortly thereafter the New Year. And I don't think he's had a smoke in a couple of weeks.
Good
now.
For him.
And
that's
I
awesome.
Was doing well until the football playoffs, you know, which I know is this weekend. It was last weekend and everything. It's just it's hard to be with buddies and watching the football games whether you're out in a pub or you're at someone's house.
And out comes the pizza, the wings, the beer.
Because I can do good all week.
I know.
And except for today with the bagels that you brought.
What bagels?
Yeah. Okay.
I know what you're talking about.
So, hopefully when I see you next week.
You'll be 10 pounds less.
Well, I doubt 10 pounds less, but that's how I'm doing.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. As long as you're healthy and feeling happier and maybe a little pizza's okay.
Well, the older you get, your metabolism slows down. I mean, there was a time in my 20s. I had a 29-inch waist. I was a mobile DJ. I was out there doing weddings and events and private parties. And I'd get out at midnight. I'd drive by a 24-hour McDonald's. Man, I'd be like, you have two Big Macs and an ice cream sundae.
Oh, yeah. It'll never even affect you.
Never. I went right to bed. I didn't put any weight on. Now, are you kidding me?
Just thinking about it as I drive by and I gain a pound.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I know exactly.
But that's
what you
just
mean.
Age, right? That's your metabolism changing as you get older.
Listen, I think part of it is age. I think also it's the level of activity that we have as we get older starts to decrease. You know, for us, it's always we didn't have a problem walking places and doing things or getting on a bicycle. You know, now we jump in the Mercedes and go instead of just, you know, physically moving.
I gotta laugh.
It's true.
Just as you were saying that 5 seconds ago, I stretched my leg, and I'm like, "Oh, I don't know if you noticed that," but I was like, "Oh,
yeah, I saw."
And that's why, as you were saying, you know, I mean, that now in your 20s, forget 20s, even 30s, early 40s, that would have not have bothered me just stretching my leg.
Not that long ago, I did 12-day backpacking treks to the New Mexico Rockies with my sons for Philmont, you know, for Boy Scouts.
Yeah,
and That was real work, okay? Well, that was maybe, let's see, 2008? So how many years is that? I can't do the math. 15 years ago?
15 years ago, yeah.
15 years ago. Well, in 15 years, let me tell you, I ain't going back. I'm not going to go any backpacking trek out my driveway to the end of the driveway, much less up mountains. It's just, you know, things change. The level of activity is different. At least for me, I have found that the older I get and the more involved I get in certain things, I don't do as much stuff.
Yeah.
And there's some of those physical ailments that prevent you from doing the things that you really wish you could do.
What are you going to do?
That's why, you know, the best thing you can ever ask for is pray for good health because, man, that means everything.
Oh, you can't defy aging.
No.
It's certainly better than the alternative, right?
Yeah.
Hey, before we get into the Catholic funeral plan, there's two things I want to bring up. Maybe you can remind us of what DOLs are scheduled, number one. And number two, let's talk a little bit about Pope Benedict, who I know passed away
weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. But it's been a couple weeks since we've seen each other. So,
well, I think we have two DOLs coming up. March 1st is the first one, at St. Margaret in South Windsor, which is Wednesday. And that's at 2 o'clock. And then we have another one in St. John Vianney Church in West Haven on Thursday, March 30th. And starting after March now, you start to see more and more of them because that's kind of the season, if you want to call it, where they'll start. But the best thing is always just go to the website because the website is always updated. So it's ccacem.org. And it's a great place to get a lot of information, not only about the Dignity of Life seminars, but also just everything that we do. So that would be great.
Okay.
Pope Benedict.
Yeah.
So Pope Emeritus Benedict the 16th was one of my favorite popes of all time.
Why?
He is the epitome of a scholarly, holy person. And I think that when John Cardinal Ratzinger was elected as Pope, I was just absolutely ecstatic because he's just that kind of guy. He's very learned, very, very much in line with the teachings of the faith and not, you know, swayed by culture, swayed by what other people think. He knows what he knows and he knows what needs to be done. And so one of the happiest days was when he was elected. One of the saddest was when he stepped down. 600 years is the last time that happened.
But why did he, though?
You know what?
Because 600 years.
Think
rarely
about
happened.
The stress of leading a billion people, shepherding a billion people, and the decisions you make and the effect that it has. You know, look, it's like being president of the United States. These guys come out of office looking aged. Okay?
That's true.
The 4 years they're in there, yep. the 8 years, they come out of there looking really different than when they went
All
in.
Of them.
All of them.
Look how young Obama was.
That's right. And he looked old when he came out.
He did.
Okay? So now imagine 10 years, 15 years of doing this and having that constant pressure and having... Now we're talking not only the normal, but the supernatural forces at work against you, too. So, you know, popes are not immune to temptation. Popes are not immune to these things, you know?
But he wanted it.
I don't think any of them want it. You know, if they want it, then they certainly shouldn't get it, in my opinion. Okay?
If they want pope.
If they want to be the pope so bad, they probably shouldn't get it. Okay. To me, it's supposed to be really the Holy Spirit that's leading this charge. So if the Holy Spirit is the one that did it, awesome. You know, when man gets involved and starts doing that stuff, not a big fan. And I know that's somewhat pie in the sky because they're all men. Well, men, you know, if they pray like they're supposed to, and I'm sure they do, and they prayerfully consider who they're supposed to vote for, to me, that's why a guy like Ratzinger gets elected. You know, Cardinal Bergoglio, who is now the current Pope Francis, he was on a ballot a number of times.
Okay? Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it's not like this was all of a sudden a new thing for him. And he finally made it in, I guess, and that's fine. But
he's
the Holy Father.
I was having a discussion around Christmas time of all time. And just recently, the question was, what is the world's number one religion? And I said, Catholicism.
No.
It's Muslim.
Yes. Yeah, well, just by number faithful, yes.
I know because I lost the bet.
Yeah.
So I was like, "No, are you sure?" And I go, "You better look that up. I think there's more Catholics." And they looked it up, and
not even
I
close.
Know I was wrong. Yeah,
not even close.
Oh, it's not even close.
Oh, it's not even close.
Did it used to be Catholics?
Don't know. I don't know if the Catholic faith was ever the largest in the world.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, a billion's not a bad number. You know.
Oh, no.
How many people are there in the world? 6 billion? Something like that?
So you have 1/6 of the population.
So 1/6 of the population.
And is it true that the Catholic Church owns more land globally than any other religion?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was the other question that came up. That.
Yeah, I have no idea. Okay. I mean, I know because there's so many churches everywhere, then there's land that mm-hmm. the churches are built on.
Cemeteries as well.
So yeah. I'm assuming that there's pretty large real estate holdings that are part of the church,
mm-hmm.
but those large real estate holdings don't really mean much. You know, what's the value? The only value is if you sell it. Well, you know, we don't sell churches per se. Well, I guess now they do some, but it's not like you can take the land. It's not like you can just, you know, knock down the church or dig up a graveyard and all of a sudden you've got land to sell. So is there an innate value in it? Yes. Is it practical value? Not really. What are you going to do with it? Take a loan out against it? No. Can't foreclose on the church. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? So, yeah.
All right. By the way, folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show along with Chris Radlitz. I'm Gary Byron.
We were supposed to talk about Catholic funeral planning.
Right,
we have no time left anyway. So, you want to talk about anything else? Because we'll have to do this maybe next time.
Goodness gracious. I know we got a little less than 10 minutes. All right. We've talked about this we've talked about the Catholic funeral plan. I mean, my goodness, for a year now. And really the most recent service offered by the CCA to the families of the Archdiocese that it assists in pre-planning needs and of families. It really is the Catholic funeral plan that's available, right, to the entire state of Connecticut. Chris, all right, so having said that, tell us a little bit about the Catholic funeral plan. What is it?
All right, so the Catholic funeral plan is a faith-based pre-need plan. And it allows Catholic families to plan their funeral arrangements in advance. The plan ensures that when you die, the funeral arrangements you've selected will be delivered at no additional cost to your family and in accordance with the liturgical traditions of the church. And that's really what that's the basis of this thing. Too many people pass away. Their family doesn't recognize or realize just how faithful they were and how much the church meant and how much Mass means to them. And they just did things that, if they were alive, they'd be like, no, that's not what I want for my final send-off. You know, I want a full Mass. I want to have a viewing or a wake. I want to give people the opportunity to close, have closure and say goodbye, etc. So, you know, this gives you the opportunity to choose all those things which are documented. And then when you pass, the information goes to your next of kin and they can now act. And there's no question. There's no fights between siblings. There's no fights between, you know, brothers and sisters or parents or grandparents about, well, no, that's not what he wanted. No, here it is. This is exactly what they wanted. And this is how they want it to transpire. And, you know, and oh, by the way, here's all the funds to make sure it can happen. So I think it's a wonderful plan, especially for Catholic families, because it really ensures that all the liturgical traditions of the church are adhered to, and it gives you exactly what you want. And, I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, you kind of deserve that. That's your final send-off, so you might as well have it exactly the way you want it.
So it's safe to say that it's approved by the church, obviously.
Absolutely, okay. And I'll tell you, you know, the Archdiocese did an extensive review of this before passing and giving its approval. But it has been approved by the Archbishop. Not only that, but the CCA has created the Catholic Family Services Association to administer the Catholic funeral plan for the Archdiocese.
And it works in what way? I mean, It works. It's funded. It's you know, how does it fund?
Oh, how does the Catholic funeral plan work, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so when you enroll in the plan, you'll select the funeral home of your choice. You'll determine what arrangements you want that best suit you. And then you choose a price range that you think is appropriate. So the funeral home is still going to provide those arrangements at the time of death. But the Catholic Family Services Association oversees the whole process so that your arrangements are carried out as specified by you and in the Catholic tradition. So that's a major, I mean, that's really the major aspect. There's nothing like this out there.
No, I know there is not.
Okay,
yeah.
There's nothing like this out there. And this is really why I think it's of such great value to the families of the Archdiocese.
And can you talk about how it's funded? And what about inflation? How does inflation impact how it's funded?
Well, I think that everything is impacted by inflation. We are living at a time now where inflation is somewhat high. Okay.
Putting it lightly.
And the Catholic funeral plan is designed to help eliminate some of the effects of inflation, especially on funeral expenses. So the proceeds, to help fully understand it, the plan's funded by an insurance policy. Okay. And there's a lot of options that you could use to fund any kind of a vehicle, but we chose to use an insurance policy. And there's a number of reasons as to why, which we can get into shortly. But once you enroll in the plan, if you should die while you're making payments on the policy, it's all covered. Okay. So, I mean, literally someone can pass away 2 years into it and everything's covered. They don't have to keep paying on it. So that's kind of an interesting way to do it. And the big thing is it doesn't incur any financial obligations to your family. In terms of the impact on inflation, your policy protects you against inflation because it grows each year and helps keep pace with or sometimes exceeds the price increase that is associated with funeral arrangements. And if by chance the benefits at the end of the program are exceeding all your costs, any excess portion gets paid to your designated beneficiary.
Obviously, there's other ways that your family can benefit from the plan as well. I mean,
well, sure. I mean, the Catholic funeral plan, I think, provides a number of benefits. First, you know that you're getting the arrangements that you want, okay? And you know that they're going to have all the essential liturgical elements of a good Catholic funeral. Second, you have peace of mind knowing your family is going to be spared the burden of making these decisions. That, to me, that's the greatest gift that you can leave your family, okay? They don't have to worry about what it was you wanted. They don't have to go through this process of planning almost a wedding in 48 hours. You and I have talked about that
many times.
It helps eliminate family disagreements. You'll have the assurance that you've provided for the cost of the funeral in advance, okay? Because this policy will take care of that, regardless of inflationary price increases. You also know the Catholic funeral plan is going to be there when your family needs it, regardless of changes in the funeral industry. If you take a look at the funeral industry, there's been dramatic changes that have occurred. And, you know, with consolidations, with large corporations buying small family things, it changes everything. Even people that have made arrangements with those funeral homes now come to find that those arrangements are no longer valid or they've changed, etc. Well, you don't have to worry about that because this is the church and it's never going to change. So not only that, but the CFSA, the Catholic Family Services Association, is there to help you. And as a Catholic, you'll have the comfort of knowing that the church's sacred funeral rites and traditions are going to continue to be observed in future generations because you're actually helping teach some of the members of your family, oh, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be. So, yeah, there's a lot of benefits.
You mentioned insurance a moment ago. But,
yeah.
But does it conflict with existing life insurance policies
that
somebody may have?
No, it doesn't. And the reason is that, you know, this is for a very specific purpose, and that's the purpose of giving you your final resting place and your final send-off. When you have a, when you and I have insurance policies to cover our families in case anything happens to us, that's what they're doing. They're covering, they're for the living. Okay. Those policies are there for the living to make sure that they are going to have
good
a life.
Point.
This is for the dead. This is to make sure that, you know, you're properly taken care of. So the big thing is this policy, because of the way it's structured, will not disqualify you from receiving Medicaid benefits. But regardless of what's built up in the policy, it's not affected by Medicaid.
All right, Medicaid, Medicare, usually at that time of life, people move out of state.
Yeah.
All right, so what happens then?
The policy is 100% transferable. Okay. The plan is 100% transferable. The only thing you have to do is choose what other funeral home you want because it's in a different state or a different part of
all
the
country. All right, then here's one for you.
Sure.
Non-Catholics. You have to be Catholic to participate in this?
Well, certainly one, the plan was designed for Catholics, okay? But it can be used by anyone who wants the pre-plan. Okay. So the Catholic Family Services Association promises to ensure that those arrangements are going to be carried out in accordance with the wishes of the deceased, regardless of what their religious beliefs are.
Okay.
But realistically, it is designed for Catholics. That's what we know the most.
And I'm running out of time. I got 1 minute. If you can answer this in 30 seconds.
Sure.
We've talked about pre-planning and before. What are other some pre-need plans that you may have in 30 seconds or less?
Well, usually the ones that are an agreement between a funeral director and an individual. Okay. And that's it. So, but here the unique advantage is that the Catholic Funeral Plan is administered by the Catholic Family Services Association. It's there to oversee the entire process. It's there to make sure that the funeral arrangements are delivered as you wished. And it assures that those arrangements will conform to the essential elements of a Catholic funeral.
All right. That's pretty good timing, if you ask me.
How did we do that?
That was
so
like
fast?
A lightning round.
Yeah,
it was
like
a
lightning
round.
It was. Oh, my gosh.
And as far as people wanting more information, if they can really contact the same number, that toll-free number that I'm going to give right now.
Absolutely.
Right? That is 1-800-505-0050. Let me repeat that. Write it down. I'll say it a little slower. 800-505-0050 and online at www.ccacem.org. For Chris Radlitz, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. Until next weekend, have a good one, everybody. So long.